Now for something completely different.
Smoke medical weed every day.
The following thoughts on Hoffy Hour represent Brian Hoffy and Fastit. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoppy Hour.
He's the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoppy Hour.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour starts in 4, 3, 2, Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour with Hoppy.
Oh my God, Dave and Mahoney are on the show. What's up, boys?
I have never talked to somebody who was more excited about figuring out how to merge two calls together than you just were, Hoppy. That was amazing.
Thank you. I was very nervous about it because I was like, oh man, I got to figure this out. You know, like, because you want things to go well. I don't want it to go wrong.
Life's good, brother. I'm glad to be on. It's always good to hear your voice.
Dude, I'm so proud of you guys. I was thinking about it when I was driving in. I've known you guys for about 10 or 11 years now, which first of all is unbelievable, right?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, we met you for the first time in Chicago, right, at Morning Show Boot Camp.
I think it was 2013 or 2014. I forget which year it was. I think it was both. It might have been 2013.
Yeah, so like 11 years, and a lot's changed for us. A lot's changed even in this past year in a lot of really positive ways. But, man, it's we had no idea where things were going there for a minute.
Dude. What is it like for you guys being in Phoenix? Like, I see the ratings. You guys are killing it, man. That's got to be a very cool feeling to be the guys that are from Vegas to then go to Phoenix and then kill it.
Yeah, I mean, not fucking it up was a pretty big part of the plan. And we didn't, thankfully. I mean, there was, you know, a good show that was on before us and coming in, you know, after them and, you know, kind of nervously wondering what the reaction was going to be, because anytime there's a change, you know, like for the audience, you expect there's going to be some turnover. And thankfully the audience for this radio station is one huge, that a really well programmed radio station, but they've been tolerant of us. And I mean, Mahoney, I know that, you know, you and I have talked a lot about that. It's just been, it's been a really good feeling to know that that people have been willing to give us a shot, and so far so good.
It's always a tough situation whenever you're changing markets and you're changing companies and you're going into a situation where guys before you are doing so well. We kind of got the best of both worlds in this particular situation, because nobody lost their job. You know, the show that was on before us, Mark and Neanderthal, Mark decided that, you know, he had been in radio for many, many decades and had accomplished all that he wanted, retired on his own accord, and so he had a nice send off and farewell, and they moved his partner Neanderthal to middays, and he's been there, been absolutely killing it in the meantime. And you know, for us to come in there and be welcomed by the staff, be welcomed by the city, it's you know, it's really a special situation for us. And you know, the fact that we are able to keep our station in Las Vegas as well is great. You know, we spent 20 years in Las Vegas. It's a place where Dave and I grew up, and you know, continuing to be able on you know, the 107.5 frequency in Las Vegas and continuing to be able to talk to our listeners there every day, you know, again, kind of a best of both worlds situation for us.
How nervous were you guys when, I know your ratings were doing well, but when they tried the talk format on X107.5, it just didn't seem to work. Was there any bit of a panic when the ratings were going down?
Well, I mean, it wasn't really a panic for us. I mean, mostly because we
thought our ratings didn't go down.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like, man, like, this never works for a reason. You know, it's like, it's tough when you've got, you know, multiple morning shows and they're tape delayed. And I mean, syndication in Vegas has always been a weird relationship, you know, where like that doesn't really seem to work that well for a lot of shows, even really good shows. I mean, you know, we really like the guys from Free Beer and Hot Wings, and they came on right after us. You know, Beasley's got a long relationship with Dave and Chuck the Freak, and like their numbers speak for themselves, obviously, in Detroit, where they absolutely crush it. But that's just a tough putt for anyone. And, you know, thankfully, yeah, our numbers held. But, I mean, the station overall took some pretty serious shots. And, you know, I think they made the right call, right? It's like they had an idea. They wanted to try it. They tried it. And then they, you know, said, hey, wait a second. This isn't working. Let's just change it back. And ever since then, the numbers, you know, overall for the station have gone back up, which has been, you know, great to see. But, you know, our numbers have remained consistent, which has been really fantastic. I think part of that is, you know, the special attention that, you know, Las Vegas obviously gets because we're so familiar with that market. And, you know, as Mahoney said, you know, our morning show is always going to be, you know, born and raised in Las Vegas. And the fact that it's working so well in Phoenix while continuing to work really well in Las Vegas has been great. But, I mean, it was a crazy story how that whole thing developed, Hoppy. I mean, I don't know if I even told you how it all went down, but I mean, we get a call from our general manager. You know, we worked for CBS Radio for years, and then that changed into Intercom, then to Odyssey. And we had this great general manager named Dan Carney, and he's just always been really fair to us and super cool. And he sends us a message, a group message. He goes, hey, can you get on Zoom in 10 minutes? And I'm like, well, we're either getting K-Rock or we're getting fired. Like, there's no in between here. Like, this is either really good news. And he goes, this is the weirdest call I've ever had to make in my 30 plus years of doing this. I'm like, that's also probably not good. He's like, you guys are being traded. I'm like, traded? Like a football player? Like, what the hell are you talking about? That doesn't happen. Well, long story short, there was this piece of land that, you know, CBS Radio had bought in North Las Vegas for $117,000 or something like that back in the 70s. It's where the backup transmitter site was for the Odyssey stations. Amazon came along and said, hey, we would like to buy that piece of land for $50 million. And they were like, okay. I was part of this like campus that Amazon's building in North Las Vegas. Well, there was this little bylaw in the contract because Beasley was leasing one of the towers for one of their transmitters. And there's a little bylaw in the contract that said that if they sold that piece of land during the course of that lease, that Beasley got to choose a radio station from the Odyssey portfolio and swap it with Odyssey or CBS or the ones that originally did that deal. Odyssey didn't even know that was in the deal. One of the Beasley lawyers found it. And so it was kind of this panic thing where, you know, all the way at the very top of the Odyssey organization, they were calling going, what do we do about this? And ultimately the decision was, well, we have to get this $50 million because, you know, Odyssey's money troubles are pretty well documented. That isn't any breaking news. And so, you know, they were doing a lot of that. And so, you know, they traded us to Beasley. We just signed a new 5-year deal with Odyssey, and you know, we were planning on, you know, staying in Vegas, and you know, that was our flagship, and everything was going really, really well in Las Vegas, and the show was growing, you know, out of Las Vegas. And for us, you know, it's like, that's weird, but it's not that weird. You know, it's the same frequency in the same city with the same team. To the listeners, they don't even really know that there's any difference. But, you know, we have a new business daddy now. Well, as it turns out, you know, Beasley was very cool, and they're like, you know, we'll honor the contracts that you just did. And you know, part of that's probably because they didn't want to renegotiate our deal. But the way that that works is that we didn't actually have a contract with Beasley. We still had it with Odyssey. And that was right around the time that we got the call, and they were like, hey, is it even possible for you to talk to us about this job in Phoenix? As Mahoney mentioned, you know, the morning show guy in Phoenix is retiring. And we said, yeah, actually, ironically, you know, roundabout way, we can talk to you right now because this really strange thing that happened to us that never really happens to anyone. And so we started the conversation, and, you know, part of the negotiation is that, you know, it's very important for us to be able to stay on in Las Vegas and, you know, continue all the syndication stuff. Hubbard was exceptionally cool about that. You know, for part of the year, the time zone is different in Phoenix, but otherwise it's synced up. So we're able to deliver custom content to Las Vegas every day. We're able to stay on in Las Vegas. We were able to work out that deal with Beasley. They were exceptionally cool about that as well. The numbers continue to do great in Vegas, even though we've moved. And, you know, now, you know, we've got a pretty good little footprint in the southwestern United States between Vegas and Phoenix and Albuquerque and you know, St. George just picked that up in Utah. And it's just continuing to, like, grow from there, along with a number of other cities across the country. But the way that it all came together was just wild. And, you know, we had no idea what the future was going to look like there for a while with, you know, everything that was going on with Odyssey and Alternative. And I mean, there was just a lot of problems, and to be frank about it. And the fact that it worked out like it did, is it's not lost on us how lucky we are.
What about you, Jason? How weird was it for you?
I mean, same thing. You know, it was an interesting situation. The fact that, you know, I'm still currently living in Phoenix and my wife lives in Las Vegas because she's an elementary school principal there, you know, doing the long distance relationship thing. You know, that's it's a tough situation, but, you know, we make it work because it's a 45-minute long flight between Phoenix and Las Vegas. So, you know, even though we are in Phoenix, we're building, Dave's got a beautiful house. He just renovated. I'm building a house that should be done in the next 7-8 months here in Phoenix, you know, making this our new home base for the future and making this our home and, you know, where our flagship is with Hubbard Radio, who have been incredible to us, you know, doing the long distance thing with the wife is, you know, it's weird, but, you know, she understands, how, you know, if you're in radio, these things happen. And for all the situations that could have happened for us, we ended up in, you know, one of the absolute best cities in America, and, it could not be better.
Have you guys gone to any Suns games yet?
No, not the Suns games. We actually had season tickets for the Diamondbacks. And, boy, what a good time to hop on that bandwagon, huh? Jesus, they had a hell of a run last week for the World Series. I mean, Mahoney and I both grew up as huge baseball fans. And, I mean, you know, football, obviously, massive fans of that as well. Mahoney is a Chiefs fan. You became a Chiefs fan, was it 2 years ago, Mahoney? Is that right? That's 3 years ago?
Maybe? Something like that, yeah. Yeah, not 42 years ago. Just 2 short years ago, Dave.
You know, I'm a Vikings fan. So we, you know, we have our NFL teams, but, you know, baseball was I grew up in Minnesota, huge Twins fan during, you know, the Kirby Puckett era. You know, they won the World Series when I was a little kid in 87 and then 91. So, I mean, I was a huge baseball fan, but I haven't been in a market with a baseball team since I was, you know, 15 years old. And so getting back into a city where you can actually go to the games and support the team, it's been really cool. So Diamondbacks, absolutely. You know, I've been to a handful of Cardinals games over the years, but I didn't go to any this season just because there's just been so much stuff going on with, you know, trying to get settled and moving. You know, I've got four little kids now, getting them all settled and into school and all that stuff. But the Suns, I mean, I've watched a lot of Suns games. They're a really fun team. The question is, can they, like, just be good enough to get over that hump? And, you know, I think we'll know that answer pretty soon for this season.
If there was ever a year, it's this year for the Suns. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think getting rid of Chris Paul helps. That guy is just negative, man. He just chokes whenever it matters. It's insane.
Injury prone too, right? I mean, he's getting older, and so it's like, you know, you see a guy that's near my age, and I'm like, oh my God, how can you possibly be out there even with a basketball in your hands, sir? It's a modern miracle how he's still managing to play. But yeah, I mean, Phoenix. You know, to Mahoney's point about how incredible, you know, Hubbard has been to us. Yeah, they've just, I heard a lot of good stuff about Hubbard, and people that work for Hubbard always talked really positively about the company. I mean, it is night and day between Hubbard and some of the other situations that we've been in over our career. So, you know, the radio company has been great to us, but the city of Phoenix has been great too. I mean, you know, I would come down here, like I mentioned, for Cardinals games and to go to, you know, golf tournaments and stuff like that. Huge golf scene in Scottsdale and just beyond in the entire city of Phoenix. But, man, what a cool city Phoenix is. I hadn't spent a ton of time out in the suburbs. You know, I live in Gilbert, Arizona now, which is about 20 minutes from the radio station that's in Scottsdale. And it's great, man. I mean, you know, very similar climate in a lot of ways to Las Vegas, but, you know, it's kind of like Vegas on steroids, you know, where it's a massive city and there's great, you know, food and sports and kind of all the stuff that you'd hope for, especially with little kids like I have, to be able to do on a regular basis. So yeah, it's been very, very pleasantly surprising, even with as totally chaotic as this last year has been.
How many markets?
And we knew one, you know, to add to that, you know, one of the interesting things, Dave, you know, cause we, you know, being in the situation that we were, being in Las Vegas for 20 years, you know, growing our syndication with Compass Media over the last 5 years, as that's continued to grow and really grew a lot during the COVID times and continues to grow right now. But, you know, we had a couple opportunities of places to go. So we knew that if we were to go, it had to be an amazing situation for us to step into that building. You know, it wasn't one of these things where we were unhappy. They had to literally, you know, it had to be the perfect situation. And the team at Hubbard, especially the general manager, Tripp Reed, you know, legendary general manager who, I mean, has done literally everything in this business and has helped launch the careers of some of the greatest morning people in the entire country, like Brother Weeze and Kevin and Bean down at K-Rock, where he was GM for, you know, 20 plus years or whatever it was, and had one of the most amazing runs in radio there. For him to cap us as the next morning show was a huge honor in that. But we will say this, we knew it was going to be fantastic coming in, and somehow after being here for 9 months, meeting the team, interacting with everybody inside of the building, it's been even better than our already super high expectations were expecting to be. So running into a situation like that where it's actually better than you thought it was going to be is pretty wild, and we're very lucky to be in this particular situation with Hubbard Radio.
You guys are pretty much happy go lucky guys, pretty grateful for everything. But you guys at this current present moment, I have never heard you guys happier.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great observation, Hoppy. I mean, you've known us for a long time, and I mean, there's always ups and downs, right? I mean, we've dealt with situations before where the future was uncertain and we didn't know what was going to happen next. And, you know, we've always believed in ourselves and, being grateful for what we have. I mean, we've always viewed this job as, you know, something that we're very fortunate to do, not something that we have to do, right? And, it's not lost on us how lucky we are to be able to do what we do every single day, especially working with, the team that we have. I mean, Mahoney was talking about Tripp and how incredible he is. You know, our program director, David Moore, is fantastic. You know, Hubbard through and through has been great, but I mean, the people in the studio every day are the ones that make or break whether you love your job or you think it sucks. And, it couldn't be better. I mean, Mahoney and I have been friends for 20 years, love waking up every day and knowing that I'm going to walk into a studio and Mahoney's going to be raring to go. He's going to be, ready and hilarious. And Audrey has just been such a wonderful addition to the show in so many ways. So, her being on the team for the last, 5 years now, Mahoney?
I mean, 5 years now, yeah.
It's flown by. And then our executive producer, whenever we made the move to Phoenix, is Chris Jackson, who we worked with when we were in Vegas. And he went to Houston with us. And then he went back to Iowa and operations manager there. I mean, he's super successful and very, very good at what he does, but him joining the team whenever we moved to Phoenix has been great. So yeah, I mean, we are happy. And to your point, Hoppy, about, how much we appreciate what we're doing, every single day, we're grateful for the situation that we're in. And I mean, Mahoney mentioned our team at Compass Media, Doug Engle, the way that he hustles to, grow the show on our behalf. It's great, man. We got a really, really good thing going, and we're doing it every single day with people that we love and that we care about. And that makes it so easy to do.
How many current markets are you guys heard in?
I mean, I don't really keep track, but 42.
Nice, dude. Humble Dave Farah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
they call only 500 to catch up to Bob and Tom. 500 more to add. One day.
I can't believe
it. Look, I mean, it's a long process, right? I mean, growing the syndication, it doesn't happen overnight. Those are big decisions that people take many times months to come to, what their new morning show is going to be, because hopefully it's a multiple year thing where, maybe even a decade long decision that they're making in that moment. So, the fact that that our team at Compass has been able to hustle it up to over 40 now is really encouraging. And I mean, the goal is that we want to have 500 affiliates. That would be incredible. Will we get there? Who knows? But right now, thankfully, it's going pretty well.
I think you will get there, because at some point the Bob and Tom show will end. That show just keeps on going, bro.
I mean, the fact that what's one of the things we love about radio is the fact that you can do this as almost as long as you want to, and, obviously, I think, who is it? It's Bob has retired from Bob and Tom, one of the two, and the other, the rest of the show.
10 years ago, and they keep
going. Yeah, absolutely. And they've been doing it since the 70s. So the fact that they continue to do it, and they continue to be successful in the markets, that gives us hope, because as bad as we are with our money, we are going to need to continue to work until we're in our 70s.
What makes you guys so bad with your money? Buying midlife crisis cars or what?
Well, first off, yes. Secondly, how dare you? Third, I'm not.
Yeah, what else are you gonna do when you hit our age, Hoppy? Come on.
Yeah, you have to fill holes somehow. All right. I mean, we're not actually filling holes anymore, so we gotta purchase things in order to make ourselves feel good. No, man, I got a litter of children. I mean, do you know how expensive 4 kids are? And like, they're all still boys. Young, right? It's like that. It doesn't stop.
I got some breaking news for you. I haven't been at the morning show boot camp in probably 5 years, so I haven't really had like the heart to heart with you guys. I mean, we'll text here and there or whatever. You guys ready for the breaking news about the future of Ryan Hoppy?
I would love to hear. What is
if it? We could be a part of it, it would be an honor, Hoppy.
I've talked about it on the show before, but I just can't wait to hear your reaction. 2 years ago in August, I got a vasectomy.
You got a vasectomy?
Yes, sir.
What?
Why?
Okay.
I don't want kids. I just don't
want kids. Okay. You know what? That's good awareness on your part. If you don't want kids, then just go ahead and shut it down. And yeah, I mean, why not? Shoot blanks. It's actually on my list. I'm not even kidding right now.
It's not that bad.
I'm looking at my computer. And I was talking to a friend about it last night. He said he got one and played golf the next day. One of the tabs that's open on my Chrome browser right now is for the vasectomy place down the street. Like, it's on a list of shit to get done. I just haven't done it yet.
Every person
did your insurance cover your vasectomy?
Yes.
And or did you get an endorsement for it?
I did not get an endorsement. I should have. I guess how much it was with my insurance?
$500.
$5.
$300.
$5.
It was a legitimate place, too. I promise you. They got me on pain meds and everything.
Did you get a Brazilian butt lift in the back of
legitimate
gas station with this vasectomy?
Obamacare.
Was it in the basement of a vet clinic? Like, what are you talking?
It was a legitimate place, bro. I got numbed up. They're like playing with my balls while we're talking about the best Madden video games from over the years. Hilarious thing.
Oh, isn't it?
So let me ask you this, Hobby, because I know that you're out there, you're dating.
Yeah.
You do your thing with the ladies. Do you lead with, or how soon do you how soon do you disclose the information about your vasectomy to the girls that you're talking to?
Well, on my Tinder and Bumble, it says that I don't want kids. And then they'll be like, oh, you're just saying you don't want kids. And I'll just say, I got a vasectomy. I'll just drop it. I'll just drop that bomb.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. When you tell them
what's the reaction like from them? Is it like confusion? Is there excitement? How is it usually received?
There was one girl that I really liked back in July. We are friends. We were very good friends with benefits, but she wanted kids, and she also lived in Georgia, and she was visiting a lot in Florida. She's great, man. I keep in touch with her. We text, but she wants kids in the future, and I don't want kids, so that sucked.
And be honest, Hoppy, outside of not wanting kids, you just want to raw dog it. Is that what it is?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do they believe you?
What's up?
Had a vasectomy? Do they believe you when you tell them that they've had a vasectomy? They're like, yeah, right, put a condom on.
No, they believe me. I'm telling you, though. It was it was so easy. It was so easy. It was just, and it's legitimate. I know when I say $5, you're like, oh, there's no. No, it was a legitimate doctor's office, and it was because of my insurance plan. Because at that time, I was making so little in radio that I literally was able to get like cheap medicine because I was making so little. Now I got a job as a production director, so.
Well, let me ask you one final question on the vasectomy topic, because like I said, it's on my list of to-dos. Do you have to shave your own balls entirely before you go in,
or do they
handle that for you?
I had to do it.
Okay.
At that time, I was in a relationship, so she took care of that. So she did all that.
Oh, she did. Oh, that's.
It was one of the last nice things. 6 weeks later, we broke up, but the vasectomy, she was kind of an influence.
Yeah, but you know what?
Go on.
She'll always be the girl who shaved your balls before your vasectomy. You know, isn't that beautiful?
Yes. And then
never forget.
It's never funny forget. Too. When I was engaged 7 years ago and I proposed to that girl, I think about this every day. She was going through a lot and she decided I want a tattoo on my leg of a sunset. So, bro, I think about it all the time. Whenever she's at the beach or whenever she's taking off her clothes, she has to think of me. Always looking at that tattoo on her thigh.
Isn't that lovely? You're permanently etched on her body. That's why I also got a tattoo of your face on my thigh, Hobby. I did that for the same reason.
Could you imagine if you actually did that?
No.
You would just be Hoppy's face would be you would be watching Dave jerk off every time he jerks off.
Yeah, and Dave's wife would be like, can he not watch us while I give? Never mind. Boys.
Dude, I'm married. That didn't happen.
Oh, does that end after marriage and four kids?
No, I mean, not
he's got
exactly.
Four kids, man. It hasn't ended.
Dave Ferrell does a lot of work. I see the pictures every few months when you update. I'm like, you have a lot of kids, Dave.
A lot of kids, man.
That means
we're never quitting radio.
I remember one time I was talking to this dude on an airplane, and he said the difference between two to three kids is more than one to two.
Yeah, I mean, we're fucking playing zone defense, man. It's like, you got to just figure out, like, everyone's at this age, like, everyone's always in danger. You just have to decide, like, who's most in danger, you know? And, like, that's where the attention has to go. It's like, there's always somebody doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. And you just have to decide, like, okay, who could actually get paralyzed right now? Let's figure that out.
If I'm trying to paint this picture real quick. So let's say you guys are doing the news. And you're talking on air. How often do you get a text from your wife and then you have to like act like everything's good on air, but you're like thinking about going to break to respond?
You mean like if there's something actually going wrong? Like maybe. my wife's pretty good about it.
Okay.
It's happened a few times where my wife has had like a real emergency where something has happened. You know, in this past year, I think about a couple of instances where, you know, she got like dropped off at the airport and was about to hop on a flight, but still had the key for the car I had the key for the car in my pocket as I got dropped off, but she was driving away to drive down to Phoenix. And so she couldn't shut the car off during the course of the entire drive because she didn't have the key to restart it. And weird stuff like that. But if my wife calls during the show, it's because it's an emergency. It's not like there's just some little inconvenience. She'll handle all that stuff. If there's something, and then if, you know, shit really goes sideways, then, you know, it becomes content, you know, life is content.
You seem to have a good wife, because I know radio people I've worked in the past where their girl will just text them during the show, and then their vibe, I would see it with people I've worked with where they just are like trying to act like everything's good, and then you're like knowing it's not good.
Oh, no, my wife is cool. Like, I told her early on, like, there's only one radio show. There's a lot of wives, you know, like there's a lot of I'm kidding, I didn't tell her that.
It's so accurate though.
She's really cool.
Well, I mean, there is some truth to that, and not in the multiple wives, but setting those expectations early in a relationship, you know, doing what we do, as you know, Hoppy, you know, it's a business unlike any other. So like knowing, you know, letting them know what they're getting into before they get into it, I think is always a very important thing if you're planning on something working long term. You know, it's like had that conversation with my wife. I mean, literally probably like 4 or 5 dates into it, like, you know, there is a possibility, you know, even though we have a contract with this company, that we will be moving again at some point, just because, you know, we can't control, much like this last time, you know, our show was number one in Las Vegas, and we still, you know, had ended up at a new company because of circumstances that were outside of what we could control. So it's like, you know, setting those expectations early in relationships, you know, I think is an important and kind of necessary thing for all people in radio who want to be in a long-term relationship.
And what you guys do the best is, I mean, Dave posts some pictures here and there of his family or whatever, but I don't mean whatever like that, but I'm just saying, like, you guys don't really like exploit your family. Like I've worked with radio people where they'll have their like family on air and it feels like it's forced. Like you guys are kind of my inspiration where the next relationship I'll get in, I'm going to keep that private because the last two I've been in, I post all the selfies and then everyone's like, where'd they go? Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Where'd they go? It's like very important. I'm realizing as a man to keep that private, to keep radio and women private.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the person, right? I mean, like some people thrive on that sort of thing. Like my wife is not overly excited about the idea of coming on air. So she doesn't, right? It's like the thing that I had to come to terms with early on is like, if I'm talking about myself and it's me and my life and things that are happening around me, that's all of that is on the table at all of the time because I've made the decision to get into radio and, you know, pull the curtain back on my life in a lot of fairly dramatic ways and talk about, you know, stuff that's gone wrong and, you know, things that have gone right and everything in between. But, you know, if I'm talking about something like my sex life, then I'm talking about my wife's sex life too, right? And like that's the sort of stuff where you want to have those conversations ahead of time to figure out where the boundaries are because, you know, me talking about her in a way that, you know, maybe she didn't agree to or she's not that down with, that would be crossing a line. You know, if it's me talking about, you know, having a terrible accident while masturbating, that's totally different because it's just me.
I had Kevin Klein on the show last month, and he said he's had many arguments because of talking about his wife on air. So that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, like there's, you know, there's some stuff that, you know, my wife's really, really cool with. Like, you know, my mother-in-law is here right now. She's in the other room. And, you know, we talk about that a decent amount on the show, and you know, like my wife finds it funny, you know, like I'm bitching about my mother-in-law. It's like it's not untrue.
And also having that you know what we sometimes, you know, even if we do tell stories on the radio about something that may be not controversial but, you know, may like raise the eyebrows of some people who are listening, you know, sometimes there's just it's exaggerated, it's a joke, they know it's a joke. They know that we're joking and, you know, that there's no real malice behind it. And you're doing it for the bit or for the joke.
I'll never forget. It was like 4 a.m. at one of the morning show boot camps. And this was the year that I shared the room with Randy, who used to be on the Woody show. And we're hanging out with Woody at 4 a.m. And he was talking about how he keeps his life private from the air. And we're saying goodnight to him. And he goes, my family didn't sign up for this. And then the elevator closed. And that was one of those moments as a man that I'll never forget. Because he was talking about like how he doesn't post his wife or his kids. And it was just the coolest Woody moment where he's like, my family didn't sign up for this. And the door closed. It was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's totally accurate, right? It's like you have to have those conversations early on. And you know, some people are totally fine with it. And all of that stuff is on the table if they're okay with it. But just assuming they are, that's something you can't do. And then, you know, expect them just to be okay with you telling everything about their private lives in a public forum when they're not.
Yeah.
You know?
And I've heard so many shows that bring on their family members that it just aren't funny. Stop that.
Oh,
you know, they're not professionals.
Oh, it's the worst. And then they become characters and you're like, you're not funny. Stop it. And then
there's a lot of that.
Then they get canceled because they send pictures. Never mind. Now, get it, Jason? Get what I did there, Jason? I'm being a little bit of a villain. Now, before I let you guys go, how can people hear your show?
I mean, they can stream it live. You know, KSLX actually has a really great app, which is pretty unbelievable because most radio companies that try to develop apps are bad at it. But the KSLX app, you know, 6 to 10 a.m. every single day. We're in Arizona time, which is kind of funky because half the year it's mountain time right now in the winter months, and then the other half of the year it's Pacific time. But I mean, you can also search Dave Mahoney on any of the podcast platforms. You know, we're live, as we said, you know, on a bunch of radio stations all across the country. So we do the live stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney. So, yeah, we love what we do. And, you know, people that join in the program always seem to have a good time, too. So, yeah, we encourage that. Thank you for the plug, Abby.
Of course. Jason, the floor is yours. I've known you 10 to 11 years. How the hell do you want to end this show, Jason? The pressure's on you right now.
No, the pressure is not on us, Hoppy. The pressure is on you. Will you or will you not be joining us this upcoming August in San Diego for a boot camp since it's been 5 years?
I got to figure out. I have a full-time job now. In this, I keep my radio job during the week private because it's not really like edgy radio, but it's full-time, so I have benefits and it's cool. But the vacation time, I don't have a lot of vacation time, so I would need to begin like kind of working on it. So I would give it a 50-50. I got to talk to Radio Fam to see if
you
I can get a deal.
8 months? 8 months?
6 months. Eight months.
We hope to see you there.
What is it, man? October? It's February, Jason. It's
August. No, it's not. It's not. It's like eight months, man.
No, he's right. I mean,
February, March, April, May, June, July, August. 7 months. 7 months. Close enough.
You're so right, Jason. I'll never forget. There was
either way, Hop.
Yeah, go on.
We'll buy all your drinks.
Oh yeah. Maybe by then I'll have the biggest morning show ever and I won't need everyone to buy me drinks. I mean, I'm making decent money now. It's finally nice to not like when I go to downtown St. Pete, everyone knows who I am. And it was nice the other day to like buy a whole box of pizza and not have the place give me a free pizza. Like at some point, it's nice to be able to like afford things. Like it's cool for a minute to be the broke radio dude, but at some point it kind of gets old.
Yeah, no, it's way more fun to be the rich radio dude.
Oh, yeah, I know. Or, I mean, I don't know. You guys know. Jason, Dave, thank you for coming on the show. This has been a lot of fun. And actually, for it being a group chat, merge calls, I think this went very well.
You are maybe
well, we
the
can't wait to do it again, Hoppy. And, again, we hope to see you in 6 to 9 months.
There's no pressure on me.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.